Yeah, that's the Foo Fighters with No Way Back. That is the fourth single to be taken from the group's fifth album, In Your Honour.
Oh, too many numbers. I'm tired already.
This is Adam and Joe here on XFM this Saturday afternoon. Now, you can help us with some technical business, listeners, this afternoon, because we've been having some problems with our microphones in the studio. And apparently, Joe's microphone possibly might not be working if you're listening to us digitally.
Digitally.
Is that correct?
Yeah, so if you're listening to this show on a DAB, what does that stand for? Digital
audio.
And
business.
Digital and business. Then and you can't hear me properly. You'll probably hear me through Adam's mic, right? Quieter and more ambient. Give us a text. Let us know, because apparently there's been this technical problem at XFM for 3 weeks, and no DJ has actually had the idea of asking the listeners.
We're the we came up with it.
Yeah, we care. We break through that wall.
Yeah.
So if you can't hear us properly and you're listening on DAB, please text us. The text is 83XFM. And that's it. We've got great stuff coming up in the next 2 hours. We've got a crap commentary competition, which is really good this week.
Is it a tough one?
Yeah. Well, it's not tough. It's just funny.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that.
And we've got loads of great music coming through your gaff into your radio box, radio box.
Are you trying to be Tommy Vance?
I'm like the guy from the E4 promos.
Isn't that Tommy Vance?
Into your ruddy gaff. I think Tommy Vance is dead, man.
Oh.
I think he died. They've got another guy that sounds like him. If he's not dead, I'm really sorry, Tommy Vance, but I think he is. So may he rest in peace.
Yeah, music coming up from the Stereophonics? Well, some people like them. The Stereophonics, the Charlatans, Dirty Pretty Things, Radiohead, Orson. Is that new? This band is tipped for huge success in 2005. Editors, Goldfrapp, all the usual brilliant bands.
And a few nuggets from our own vaults as well.
Ditties in the Dock coming up. It's Country and Western this week.
Wow!
We got a text competition. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff, like a couple of miserable old twats, like we usually do.
Nicely mangled.
Thanks.
Bit of profanity there, man.
Thank you. I think that might actually be ruder.
That was, yeah, it sounds a bit ruder the way you said it. Did you say something about Cocoa Pop straws there?
Yeah, we'd like to also apologise to anybody who's emailed in the last 4 weeks, because the email system has been down, part of XFM's massive technical breakdown that's now over, and it's emerging from Phoenix-like, you know, with all sorts of newfangled equipment. But we haven't been able to read the emails.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking through the 1,157 we've got, most of which are internal warnings and cautions from various radio authorities. But one of them said that Cocoa Pop straws might be banned.
Really? And why?
Right, this is allegedly. I can't confirm that. Well, I'll have to go back to the mail and read it.
Right, because we were talking about Cocoa Pop straws the other week. I was curious to know whether any mothers out there had actually followed
In what sense, mothers?
Mothers of children.
Okay.
Birth mothers.
Yeah, okay.
Had followed the implication.
Can't be certain these days.
Yeah, no. Not mofos, just mothers. Mm. Had followed the advice of the commercial. Because in the commercial, they imply that Cocoa Pop straws are a good way of encouraging your children to drink more milk.
Yeah.
Whereas, in fact, we all know they're just yummy, crunchy snacks, and they've got nothing to do with milk whatsoever. They may as well be encouraging you to drink cider, I don't know. But I was curious as to whether any mothers had actually used them successfully. But I don't think that anyone in their right mind would drink straw through a Cocoa Pop straw as a way of drinking milk. Shall I stop talking and play some more music?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. It's this one.
Sort of a soft intro,
isn't
it?
Yes.
Lucio wouldn't have done a soft interview intro like that.
No, he would have gone, "It's Jose Gonzalez! Deal with it!" Oh, sorry. That was Jose Gonzalez with Heartbeats.
So listen, I don't know if anyone out there enjoys watching telly.
I love watching telly.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Because we were on it the other weekend, weren't we?
I wish you...
Do you not want to talk about this?
I can talk about it if you want.
We were on Channel 4's, what is it, 100 funniest...
100 greatest funny moments.
Yeah, I don't know whether anybody saw that. And if you're a regular listener to the show, you might remember that Adam and I weren't sure whether to go on it. And we asked the listeners, didn't we?
Yeah, we
and
polled.
Who overwhelmingly encouraged us to be interviewed for the 100 greatest funniest moments.
Yeah.
But what a peculiar show.
Very strange.
What was the criteria? If you saw that show, listeners, last Sunday night between noon and 3 a.m. the following week, it seemed to last forever, didn't it?
It lasted about 3.5 hours or 4 hours.
Do you know what the criteria was? Because it seemed so random. They had clips from films. They had bits of stand-up.
Mm.
and they had kind of spontaneous prank comedy. So at the beginning I thought, well, it must be spontaneous, improvised comedy. That's the criteria. But then they had a bit bits from stand-up routines, which are largely scripted.
Yeah, but I think their criteria was that it was, it had to be something real. There had to be an element of reality in it.
Oh, yeah. What does that mean?
Well, just
where's the element of reality in Peter Kay's stand-up routine?
He's standing in front of some human beings.
Yeah,
he's alive.
Rubbish.
I know, that's rubbish.
It's getting something strange is happening to Channel 4 clip shows. They've run out of subjects to do, so now they're using them as kind of revisionist propaganda tools.
Well, it was like 100 greatest moments from other 100 greatest shows was what it was.
Yeah.
But it did give you them an opportunity to slip in some quite cool stuff, like the internet stuff, I thought was pretty funny. The Star Wars guy.
Yeah, but that made the criteria even weirder.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do a top 100 internet funny things on their own, couldn't you? What's the connection between an internet clip and the going up to 11 clip from Spinal Tap? Or the bit where they feel the dog's nuts in Best in Show?
I suppose they're kind of water cooler moment things, aren't they?
Whatever your theory is, put it into the title. The 100 greatest water cooler moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then people might have been confused by what a water cooler moment. They wanted to make it as basic as possible. Yeah. Funny moments. 100 funny moments.
It was weird, man. I don't know whether anybody out there understood it better than I did. But it was nice to see that your dad is one unit less funny than Punk'd. The entire series. Adam's dad is one unit of Channel 4's currency, whatever it is, less funny than Punk'd, yeah.
Punk'd was 69, was it?
I didn't write down the numbers.
My dad was at number 70. Yeah.
Dylan Moran, live, yeah, is one unit less funny than the whole of Daisy Donovan's career. The Napoleon Dynamite dancing scene was at 49. What is spontaneous about that? I mean, it's dancing, so in a way, you can't really script dancing, but you can choreograph it.
It's just a funny moment. It's just a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but
it's like when people talk about, do you like that bit in that thing?
Yeah, but there's so much. What about then all the funny bits in all the sitcoms and scripted films? And I don't know. Am I being pedantic? What about Be Somebody or Be Somebody's Fool, the Mr. T thing they had a clip from at number 45? Never been shown on UK television. Only available, like, on bootleg.
Mm. Were you upset about that?
Well, if they're going to do bootleg stuff that's not available on telly, then there's millions of brilliant things to show.
Yeah.
Star Wars Holiday Special. There's a whole... There's a whole subculture of that stuff.
Well, it was kind of a personal list that some desperate researcher had drawn up, I suppose.
Alex Zane's bits on Balls of Steel are funnier than Best in Show and Spinal Tap.
Well, if you put it like that,
yeah,
it's difficult, isn't it?
You and me, the Adam and Joe Show, all four series, were one unit less funny than that fat, sweaty bloke off Pop Idol. Fair enough.
Well, I think that's fair enough. He was amazing. I'd never seen those bits
Nothing
before.
From Rock Profiles? Nothing from Shooting Stars?
Mm.
It was weird. If anyone out there understood it better than me. But to round this rant off, I don't know. I don't think we'll be going on those again.
No.
Will we?
I think that's our last.
I might never go on telly again. I think you're doing well, Adam, with the It Crowd. Keep up with the acting. I'm going to stick behind the camera.
Yeah,
I agree. Like it.
Television's gone weird. We spoke for about 45 minutes and wrung our hands and agonised over every word we said. And then in the end, they just used two lines.
They used two of the most arrogant things either of us said. Well, you just said, we were the best thing in takeover TV, so we got a series.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, well.
Anyway, that's that. It's the last you'll see of me.
We've learned our lesson. We won't do it again. We promise. Now, here's a free play. This is one of the first singles to be taken from the Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah album last year. And I'm really enjoying this album more and more the more I listen to it. Hope you do too. That is Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah, which is a bad name for a band, let's face it. Don't you think, Joe?
Well, it's common knowledge that band names are thin on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, mathematically speaking, most combinations of words have been used.
Do you like making up names for non-existent bands?
Yes, I do.
It's enjoyable, isn't it?
Yeah, well, when you say something random in conversation, you can just add the line, that would be a good name for a band.
Yeah, exactly.
On the end, and it's just fun. It's just fun, isn't it? That'd be a bad name for a band.
The is just fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, that was Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah. Bad name, brilliant band. That was called In This Home on Ice. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. We're going to play some adverts, Joe.
Yeah, and then after the adverts, listeners, we're going to do our crap commentary competition or corner or whatever we call it. Now, you might have noticed it's rather a beautiful day today.
It's so
certainly
cold.
Is in London. It's cold,
so
but it's
cold.
It's lovely and sort of clear and sunny, or it was. So that means fewer people might be listening.
No, because...
a lot of people are out.
I went on London Tonight yesterday. They said, because it's so cold, people are coming into the A&E with nosebleeds because their nasal passages are getting all dried out and irritated.
Oh, for God's sake.
And they're getting nosebleeds. People are coming in. It's like zombie town out there because
that's
of the freezing cold. I'm telling you.
It's like a nation of toddlers with nosebleeds.
And they're saying
since
to
when
them,
do you go to A&E with a nosebleed?
It's frightening getting a nosebleed. You think your brain's exploded or something. You know, if you're not prone to nosebleeds normally, suddenly you start, you know, you just think...
It depends
oh,
what sort of a nose... If it's like one of those nosebleeds out of The Fury,
well, that's
then
the
that's
thing.
Different.
In movies, it's like in movies, if someone gets a cough, that means they're going to get...
It's true, and if they get a nosebleed, it means they've got an aneurysm.
Exactly.
Doesn't it?
It's
right.
It's very bad.
People never get nosebleeds in films casually.
That's
right.
It
always means their brain's melted or they've got some sort of Ebola-style virus.
Ebola!
We'll be back shortly.
XFM. This... is XFM.
This is XFM.
Those that think I do not know the road I'm taking.
Yeah, just make your plans. The cold line's gonna tell me what a lot is.
Love music. Love XFM.
There we go, the Stereophonics. This is Adam and Joe on XFM, London's 104.9. Little bit of torture for everyone who doesn't like the Stereophonics, but pure pleasure for people who do.
Some delicious balm, aural balm. We haven't had any texts in about the microphone situation, have we?
We have. Apparently it's A-OK.
Loud
and clear. Thank you very much, all digital audio listeners who texted in. It's time for a competition now, and it's Crap Commentary Corner.
Recorded off of a DVD. Why don't you listen and see? You could win some crap for free. Can you tell and speak it? And move it over to Kim. Go ahead, it's easy. You can use IMDb.
If any young children are listening, crap is not a clever word to use. Crappity crap, crap, crap. Not clever. Don't copy it. Crappity crap. So it's time for Crap Commentary Corner. And this week we've got quite an easy one. So stand by your phones, 0871 222 1049. I'll say that again in a second, so grab a pen and paper.
Mm.
Yeah?
You reckon people are going to get this one pretty easily?
I think so, yeah. I don't know. Who knows? Now, what's the what prizes have we got, Xanthi, this week? Is it This Life DVDs?
The
90s... Wow, this is from when we were on telly.
I'm so excited about This Life coming out.
Oh, and Ghost in the Shell. That's more exciting.
Ghost in the Shell 2, I think.
So This Life is a prize for ladies and Adam.
Oi, steady.
And Ghost in the Shell is a prize. Oh, I haven't seen this. Ghost in the Shell 2, Innocence. Supposed to be brilliant.
I think
something to do with Studio Ghibli.
This Life trivia fact. I think Ricky Gervais was responsible for picking a lot of the music, incidental music that was used on This Life. It's a little fact for you fact fans. Anyway, should we play this competition?
Yeah. So, really good prizes. 0871 222 1049. What's that, Xanthi?
And tickets.
Oh, and tickets as well. We might give the tickets away for...
Yeah, we've got something else that we might give away.
Yeah. Anyway, really good prizes. Here comes clip number one. So, all you have to do is tell me who this director is and what movie he's talking about. In clip number one, he describes how he kind of wants you to watch his film on DVD, and he expects quite a lot from his viewers in these, you know, time-stressed days. Let's hear it.
This film has really been designed to be watched more than once. My advice is to watch it once without the commentary, then watch it with the commentary, then watch it again without the commentary. And each time you watch it, the concept becomes deeper and deeper.
Mm. Right? And then watch it, then throw it away with the commentary, then take it out of the bin without the commentary.
Stamp on it.
Stamp on it with the commentary.
Yeah.
And then, again, with the commentary...
Hey, you're only saying this because you know the answer, Adam Buxton.
Pop it in your butox.
Some people are prejudiced against this director.
No!
And some people are prejudiced against this film. It really divided people.
But you had a sneaking admiration for it.
I do have a sneaking admiration for it, but it lasts over 2 hours, I think, so he's asking you to give 6 hours of your life to his confused film. Anyway, no more clues. Here's clip number two. So in this clip, the same director is explaining one of the brilliant... visual metaphors in his film, and this is a visual metaphor, or basically a metaphor that people may not have thought of before.
Okay, the chess game, the chessboard has many mystical meanings. The Temple of Solomon was checkered like a chessboard, 64 squares and 32 pieces. One of my metaphors here is that essentially life is a chess game, everything's chess. Chess is everything. Ultimately, you're only playing yourself, and the projection is that you're playing on the board, and the environment is the board. But if you stay on that board, you'll always remain vulnerable. I'll talk more about the chessboard as we go along.
Please don't. Please shut up about the chessboard.
So wait, I don't understand. Life
is what, yeah.
Is like the chessboard.
Don't try it, Ed. Don't try it.
I'm
not clever enough.
Okay.
Okay, 0871-222-1049 if you know who that director is and what movie he's talking about. You can win This Life or Ghost in the Shell. Two Innocents. Shall we do the third clip? There's a third clip.
Or let's play that afterwards. Just
okay.
We'll play some music right now, and then we'll get some callers, and then we'll play the third clip. I'm quite excited to hear it. Now, this is The Charlatans. Black and Blue Eyes is the name of the track. And for Charlatans fans, I'm sure this is a momentous occasion. That was The Charlatans. I wasn't laughing at The Charlatans. There, I was laughing at something Joe just said. That was called Blackened Blue Eyes. Now, we have a couple of people on the line.
Can I just let everyone know I've dusted the text screen?
Oh, well
I've just
done.
Dusted the text screen with a little bit of bog roll.
How dirty is the bog roll?
It was
roll
very
now?
Dirty.
Really?
Oh, the bog roll is, yeah, dusty. So, there you go. The text will be coming through all legibly.
Nice and clear.
So, you join us in the midst of crap commentary competition. We've played you a rather haughty-sounding director with some... you know, kind of simplistic, metaphorical ideas about his movie. And we've got a caller on the line, have we?
Yeah, I think we've got Trevor. Trevor Phillips.
Hello.
Hello, Trevor Phillips. Are you a politician?
I'm not, I'm afraid, no.
Oh.
What are you,
no,
Trevor?
The wrong one.
What kind of a creature are you? You're an animator?
Yes.
That's cool. What do you animate?
Kids TV.
Really? Yeah. What shows?
The Cram Twins.
Wow.
On Cartoon Network,
yeah,
probably the best thing I've done.
Man, I thought those things were sort of farmed out to India and places like that.
Well,
these days.
Yeah, they kind of are, and then we get them back and we kind of finish it all off.
Really, you punish them when they go over the lines?
Yeah.
Is that what you do? Fly over to India and spank them?
Well, I don't get to do that personally, but the director gets to do that.
Man, the Cramp Twins is good. Do your kids watch the Cramp Twins, Adam?
They haven't got into the Cramp Twins yet, but
is it for slightly older kids?
It's only a matter of time. I think it is. My children are about. 3 and a half, so they're a bit young, aren't they, for the Cramp Twins?
Yeah.
What else do you do, Trevor, apart from the Cramp Twins?
Not a lot.
Well, that's enough, isn't it?
I enter XFM competitions.
Well done, that's a full-time career.
But so, you don't do it regularly. You're not what we refer to as a prize pig.
Well, we don't refer to...
We don't
use that phrase.
We don't use that phrase. Our old producer, Lila, used to say, oh, it's this guy again, he's a prize pig.
Hey, Trevor, we're honoured you've called because your fingers bring so much joy to people.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. And so, can we play you this third clip just before you make your guess?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Because,
More twaddle?
It is more twaddle, but it's this third clip is twaddle. I mean, obviously he thinks he's clever to come up with the idea of chess being a metaphor for life. He thinks that's quite a stretch. But then, you know, most people have twigged who this is and what movie it is. Have a listen to his overarching theory for the colour scheme in the film and the sort of characterisations in the film. This is the theory that underlines the whole film. See if you understand this.
The three columns go, green is central column, white is right column, black is left column.
Right, can you explain that and what that means?
Well, everything manifests in processes of three. So you've got proton, neutron, electron, sun, earth, moon, masculine, feminine, child, positive, negative, and filament. White blood cells are mercy, red blood cells are judgment. All the environments do represent left column or right column energy.
Okay, all right. All right, okay.
So wait, masculine, feminine, child?
Yeah.
Was that those three distinct entities?
According to this man. Hey, Trevor, put the listeners out of their misery who haven't realised who it is and let us know your guess.
It's Guy Ritchie.
Oh, yes.
Revolver.
Correct. Absolutely. That's the Yay. Commentary from Guy Ritchie's Revolver. I think it comes out next week or something.
Well, good.
I got it from a special sneaky shop where they sell things a bit too early.
The Guy Ritchie shop.
The Guy Ritchie shop, yeah. And in that shop, they said it was flying off the shelves. And if you check out Amazon or one of them websites, people are crazy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think it's the greatest film ever made.
Because of all the colour schemes.
I don't know.
More clever than us.
But they're cleverer and they understand things like chess being like life.
Who is that interviewing Guy Ritchie there?
The interview's funny because, I don't know, he's trying to make sense of Guy Ritchie, but he's also a bit frightened by him.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really have the balls to push Ritchie far enough and say, that's rubbish. And you're talking rubbish. What are you talking about? You're mad. Madonna's mad. You're mad. Which is what any sensible person would say, don't you think, Tony? Hello?
Tony's gone.
He's hung up.
Tony? Trevor.
No, there he is.
Oh, Trevor. Sorry, Trevor. My mistake. Sorry.
Yes.
Why didn't Tony reply?
Couldn't you pretend to be Tony?
Yes, Joe, that's correct.
Listen, Trevor, congratulations. You got it absolutely right. What prize are we going to give Trevor?
Well, I'd assume he might like Ghost in the Shell 2, Innocence.
Have you already got that?
I wouldn't mind it. No, yeah. I haven't got that.
Okay, Ghost in the Shell 2. How about This Life? Would you like that as well?
Oh, if it's going, I would love This Life.
Yeah, Series 1 on DVD of This Life, which is out this week. Those two are on their way to you. Thanks so much for calling in, Trevor.
Oh, thank you.
Have a good weekend. Bye, and keep up the good work on the Cramp Twins and all those other marvellous animation things. This is Adam and Joe on XFM.
Love music. Love music. Love music. Love XFM.
That was awesome, absolutely awesome, with a song called No Tomorrow. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. I enjoyed the awesome. This band is tipped for huge success in 2006, it says on the sheet that we get given at the beginning of our show. So there you go, you heard it here first. What are you reading there, Joe?
Well, you said we were going to talk about the Oscars, so I'd got out my stupid Oscar magazine.
Oscars, which is your stupid Oscar magazine?
It's an American entertainment magazine called Entertainment Weekly. And it says it's got a complete guide to Oscar night. You know, I don't know about you listeners, but I've given up on the Oscars.
Have you?
Well, a good film hasn't won since Silence of the Lambs.
But all the important issue films this year, Joe
Cornish. It's true, isn't it? It's a good year for the Oscars because there's lots of very serious films. Like Capote.
Capote. Have you seen Capote?
No.
I'm quite excited about Capote.
Mm.
Brokeback Mountain I've seen. Quite good. Not amazing, though.
Mm.
Good Night and Good Luck I want to see. Have you seen that?
Haven't seen that yet, no.
With Clooney?
With the Clooney the Looney, no.
Clooney, so he's on like a double serious film assault at the moment. Or is it triple even? Syriana, Good Night and Good Luck, and... Oh, no, he's not in Munich, is he?
No.
No, I was thinking of someone else. But it's non-stop serious Clooney, which strikes me as odd, because Clooney's a bit of a thicko, isn't he?
No, he's not a thicko. He is. No, he's not.
Is he not?
No, his parents are very clever people. He's from a very sort of influential liberal family, I believe, in America. Someone can text or call or mail and correct me if I'm wrong, but he's a very intelligent man. He's the sexiest man alive.
Is he?
Well, he's physically sexy. Mm. He's very rich. Mm-hmm. He's handsome. He defends ladies in fights. We know that much from his recent tabloid escapades.
What was that?
He stopped a woman from being beaten up outside a premiere last year. He stepped into the breach. He's very chivalrous.
I wouldn't do that.
I know. Well, you're not Clooney by a million miles, Adam.
No way.
By a million miles. You are like one of a zit on Clooney's bum.
I dream
you
of
wish
being
you
a
were
zit
a bit of a on zit Clooney's on Clooney's bum.
You
and added to all of that,
yeah.
he's very politically conscious.
Savvy.
Conscience.
And he's got a sense of humour.
Yeah, he's so sexy.
Oh, he's sexy. Yeah, you see, if I saw a woman getting hassled outside the Oscars, if someone was threatening to beat her up, I wouldn't do anything.
You wouldn't, would you?
I'd just watch.
Yeah.
Well, they pushed her about.
Anyway, what's your point about the Oscars?
I didn't really have one. I was just interested to hear if you were interested in watching them and stuff like that.
Man, I don't know about anybody out there, but I used to stay up all night and watch them. I used to have a sort of slightly camp, unintentionally camp Oscar party.
Yeah, we used to have Oscar
Everything to do with
party.
The Oscars is unintentionally camp. You just don't realise it when you're younger. But I don't do that anymore because you always end up sitting in your house at 6, 7 in the morning on a Monday morning. Still in your pyjamas and they've gone all sweaty.
And loads of your mates just sat there smoking tabs and...
Yes.
All drinking
sort of
too much.
Feeling weird. And then, I don't know, some awful film wins.
Yeah, that's right. But Jon Stewart is hosting this
year. Well, that'll be exciting.
From the Daily Show.
He's very... It's going to be political. It's going to be like the 60s all over again.
It's going to be charged with politics.
So listen, we're coming up to the top of the hour. In the second hour, we're going to be having a text competition and giving away some fantastic tickets. Oh, well, what tickets are they? To this brilliant play all about Pete and Dud.
Peter Cook and Dudley Moore is called
Dudley Moore,
Come Again.
Yeah.
I saw this when it was having a run in Edinburgh, and it was remarkable. It was really good. I'd recommend it. And I felt as if there was nothing more to be said about Pete and Dud. I don't know if it's breaking any particularly new ground, but it's brilliantly done, this play. So these are good tickets to be winning.
Plus, we got a pair of tickets to see the Delays at the Shepherd's Bush Empire on Tuesday. Have we got more This Life DVDs? They're for Ditties in the Dock, I think. Oh, no. And we've got more Ghost in the Shell DVDs. Oh, it's fantastic. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Before I play some more music, can I just talk about Gary Glitter quickly?
Yeah, go on. Why? Are you sure that's sensible?
I'm not going to say anything terrible about Glitter or controversial. Just that whoever's advising him on his haircuts and stuff, what are they thinking about? He hasn't made himself look much nicer.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He's... It's
what,
like
the evil goatee?
Yeah. He basically... It's like his stylist or whoever is advising him has said, now listen... We want you to come across well, because this is not a very pleasant thing that you're involved with here, Gary. So I think it's important that you present a nice, cuddly image to people. And I was thinking that we should style you as maybe an evil dictator from space. What do you think? Yeah, that sounds good. I want to be in that gang. Or something that Gary Glitter might say. Just a thought. Anyway, here's some music right now. And this is not a very XFM type of a track, but it's a lovely song by the Beach Boys, who are one of my favourite bands. And it's a lovely romantic afternoon song called Time to Get Alone. This is the Beach Boys, Adam and Joe here on XFM.
I love that you do.
Don't bother texting in. What the hell is this wet rubbish? I just like wet rubbish. That was the Beach Boys with Time to Get Alone. This is Adam and John XFM. We'll be back very shortly.
XFM. XFM.
So who's that girl there? I wonder what went wrong so that she had...
She had speak when she spoke you to.
Editors and Munich. This is Adam and Joe on XFM this Saturday afternoon. Now, I've been having a lot of very annoying minor injuries recently.
Yeah, this is our subject, listeners, for this link. Minor injuries.
Minor injuries.
Yeah, this
link
might turn into a text competition.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear from other people. But you know the kind of things I'm talking about?
Things that aren't in any way life-threatening.
They're not
life-threatening. Incredibly painful. I tell you, the most painful thing to do is get a splinter under your fingernail.
That's exactly... I had that on my list.
Is that what you had?
On my list. No,
there's nothing,
you know,
more
what
painful
I,
than
what
that.
What I did this morning was I... just thinking about it makes me feel a bit pukey, actually. But I was having some cereal, and the spoon that I was eating with touched my filling and created some kind of pain circuit that went just right through me. It was horrible. It was like Marathon Man. was unbelievable, the pain.
That sounds horrible.
You know, it's like a sort of low-level electrocution thing. Have you never had that?
No, I don't have any fillings.
No fillings? Mm. Have you really got no fillings?
I've got one filling, but I think it's made of metal. We discussed this the other day.
Did we?
Yeah, it's made of pure, I don't know, gold.
Pure genius. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I forgot it was made of genius.
Yeah,
yeah, no, because I had that. I think that maybe that's my worst one, is the vomity feeling that you get. It's almost the same as when you get flicked in the gonads with a towel. That same feeling of absolute nausea that you get.
Yeah.
That sort of remains with you as a memory of, a sense memory of pain afterwards. So I'd be interested to hear people's top minor injuries. Some of my other favourite minor injuries are paper cuts, of course.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you got a paper cut?
Quite recently, I think.
Really?
Opening a letter, yeah.
Oh, and it, you know, it really ruins your
painful
day for a little bit.
Yeah.
There was a great bit on Jackass where they gave each other paper cuts.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That was one of the more imaginative things they had on that show. Biting your tongue, of course.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm always doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, always doing that.
It's something you forget about until you do it again. And then you think, oh, this is the most awful thing that's ever happened to me. You can't speak or think or anything.
Have you got toe stubbing there? That's probably the most famous one.
Stub toe, of course.
A nasty toe stub. And it always happens around the bed, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just when you're all relaxed in your jimmy jammies and you're getting ready to hop into bed all cuddly-wuddly, and then bash!
Yeah.
Game over. And the greatest amount of pain in medical science. Apparently more painful, actually, than having your brain ripped out.
No way!
Apparently that's true.
And do you ever cry when you get these? Because that's the closest that grown men get to crying.
I never cry. I'm not like one of the men in The Apprentice.
Now, I sometimes feel like crying when I get some of these injuries. Now, a couple of other injuries, which are minor if you're lucky, but can turn major if things go badly.
Mm.
No, not car accident. Well, I suppose you could have a minor car accident, of course. Walking into a lamppost or a
window.
Nobody
does that. Only the Chuckle Brothers do that.
Have you never walked into a lamppost?
Not for a while.
Yeah, you were walking down the street. Xanthi has, haven't you, Xanthi? I walked into a lamppost.
How do you end up walking into a lamppost?
Because you're looking at ladies, or I don't know.
So you're looking behind you, and you just
wallop
into one.
You're just not looking where you're going, and wallop. And something about the fact that you don't realise it's there, the momentum that your body has
It's shock.
It's amazing. It's like you've been hit in the face with a truck or something.
With a lamppost.
With a kind of
lamppost. Because you sort of have.
Yeah.
Only the other way around.
And the other one, of course, is walking into a pane of glass that you don't realise.
Now, that's terribly dangerous. Have you done that?
Yeah, I've done that a couple of times.
Where's that happened?
With a big pane of glass place.
Baines and Ernst.
Baines and Ernst?
Sue them.
What are you talking?
Isn't that
Baines
and
see.
Ernst?
No. Yeah, that's the kind of thing you could do. Yeah, I walked into a pane of glass that I didn't realise was there. Luckily,
Baines
and Ernst.
£4,000 for that.
Yeah.
So we want people to text in. If you can pinpoint a more painful, non-life-threatening or non-serious injury, we'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, make them as peculiar as possible.
Is there anything more painful than pulling out a nose hair?
That's a good
one. Is there anything more painful than pulling out a nose hair that's actually on that bit of the inside of the nose that has quite a lot of give?
Yeah, yeah.
And that actually points out.
That's right.
And you think you might actually pull your nasal interior out into the exterior.
Well, but do you ever just pull a few out for fun?
Well, I usually use some nail scissors.
Yeah, scissors, not tweezers. You never tweeze them out?
No, that's horrible. Why would you do that?
Because
no, I prefer the randomness of just going like that, tips of the fingers.
Don't pull too many out. They're there for a reason.
Why?
To stop dust and particles getting up your important passages.
It's true, isn't it?
Don't start
yanking
them out.
Yeah, I can't have them growing out the end like ferns. Anyway, if you've got better minor injuries, 83XFM, and you could win some of our superb prizes, two pairs of tickets to see the Pete and Dud Come Again, a brilliant play telling the story of the two legendary comedians, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, at the venue, tickets to see the Delays, and loads of DVDs, loads of stuff, basically. So text now.
Music time now, another non-playlist track.
This is good. Sorry, but this is good already. From Julia in Camberwell, treading on a piece of Lego or a plug. Treading on a plug with bare feet is horrible.
Genius.
When the pins are up. And Lego, you're absolutely treading on something in bare feet, something sharp.
That's
horrible.
Treading on a plug is a brilliant one.
Yeah, very good.
Okay, yeah, a bit of music from the Stranglers right now. This is Nice and Sleazy. We'll be back after this.
Is Was this a free play? Was that a free play?
Yes, it was.
What was it?
That was the Stranglers with Nice and Sleazy. Makes me chuckle. He's got winning delivery, I think, Hugh Cornwell. Mm.
Nice and Sleazy does it every time.
You right there, Xanthi? Now, have we got any more minor injuries coming
in? Yeah. We've been asking you listeners to text in things that, like, non-threatening injuries that are amazingly painful. Possibly more painful than a serious injury. That's my theory.
That's right.
Yeah.
We should say as well that, you know, some of these minor injuries can turn very serious. Walking into a pane of glass, that's a disaster if the glass breaks.
Now, I should say that we're not doing anything Willy-based. So, you know, you give up those ones.
Oh, no, that's a good one, though.
Is it?
Shutting the old chap in the zip.
Well, we're going to have to change some of the terminology in that case.
Come on, that is one of the all-time
great. Well, let me rewrite some of them during the next record, and I'll come back to those. Here's a very... Oh, man. Speak, come on, Buxton, speak.
I'm thinking about shutting your winkle. But it always struck me as odd in There's Something About Mary, you know, in that scene where at the beginning where he shuts his old chappy in his zip just before going to the ball, that he shuts his testicle in there rather than the end of his torture.
Man, this is out of control. A second ago I had a really good one, but now 500 more texts have come in. Oh no, and now people are texting on my home phone.
It's all the people who've ever shut their willoy
keep
in
talking
there.
come on. Okay, here we go. Slipping on in fact I did this the other day, slipping on the stairs in your socks and falling backwards. That happened to me the other day. I was alone in the house and I was running down the stairs to answer the phone, which is at the foot of the stairs.
Ooh.
In my socks. If you step on the lip of the step rather than the actual flat
right.
bit, I went backwards. Life went into slow motion. And I thought, man, I'm going to land on my spine and I'm going to fracture my spine. So I threw myself against the wall. Therefore, I pushed with my left hand. Oh, it's so exciting.
Wow.
I can't describe it adequately because it was so amazing.
I can imagine it happening
in slow motion. Yeah, but it was brilliant.
That could have been the end of Joe Cornish.
You know what? I might need some more time with these texts because there's millions of them and I forgot to go through them. I was reading a mag during the record.
I'll tell you exactly what he was doing, listeners. He was ruining my Lost fun because he's in his special American mag are a load of spoilers for exactly what Lost
my
means.
American mag tells me all the secrets to Lost.
So,
and I've been taunting.
Joe is just blurting out loads of things that I deeply
I know
care
what the
about.
Secrets are.
He knows about the hatch. He's been taunting me about
the hatch.
I haven't
even watched it, but I know all the secrets.
I don't want to know about the hatch. I want to find out.
Anyway, let's play some more adverts. We'll be back shortly with a few more minor injuries.
Yeah, I'll do it properly. I do apologise.
This is XFM.
XFM.
Love music. Love music. Love XFM.
That's Green Day with American Idiot. This is Adam and Joe on XFM.
Yeah, neck cricked.
Well,
that's a good one, though, isn't it?
I did that
the other day in the car.
What, the one that where you trap a nerve and it feels like you've just been struck by lightning?
Well, when you just look round and suddenly it feels like you've dislocated your head.
Yeah, that's
terrible. Happened to me the other day, and then it takes ages to go. But, you know, sometimes when something's hurt really badly and the pain starts to fade, about halfway through the fading process, it gets pleasurable.
Yes,
do you ever get
true.
That?
Yeah.
There's something about a 50% amount of pain when you just recently had 100% that's actually nice. Maybe I should get into bondage. So listen, listeners, if you've just tuned in, this is Adam and Joe on XFM. We've been asking you what the most painful, non-life-threatening, non-need-to-see-a-doctor injuries are. We've had an overwhelming result. This is obviously a national pandemic.
Mm.
That's the latest word, isn't it? Pandemic of minor injuries. So are you ready?
Yeah, hit me.
This is a good one. If you're a smoker, which is obviously very stupid.
Well, exactly. You're heading for a major injury there.
Yeah, and you get smoke in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And you get blinking and watery, and that can really be painful. It can be as if someone stuck a twiglet behind your eyeball.
Well, I recall from my smoking days that happens when you...
What, yesterday?
When you're... No. I haven't been smoking for a while.
Haven't you?
No. When you're dangling a ciggy in your mouth... and the smoke goes in your eyes. That's when it happens, when you're trying to be a bit of a poser.
Here's a lady one for ladies, and this came from, that the smoke in your eyes was anonymous. This comes from Christine in Orpington. A paper cut on your nipple while reading a magazine in bed. Now, Adam, when I read that out just now while the record was playing, Adam was surprised about that. But, of course, you've got to remember that ladies' nipples are more prominent than men's. They're further out from the body.
Because of the lady...
That they're mounted on sacks on the front of the woman.
Articulated areas
and they tend
of skin.
To be a little more, you know, proud.
They get in the way of stuff.
They're more
stuff.
Proud.
They can fall into machinery.
Yeah, and obviously Christine was reading, I don't know, maybe the Times Literary Supplement, and she slashed her nip. On the edge. Oh, now she's got three nipples.
What are you talking about?
Stubbing your finger when catching a football or a netball is a very good one.
Yeah, that is
if
a good
someone
one.
Throws you a heavy ball and it stubs, it hits the end of your your thumb. Swallowing scratchy food. Well, not a problem for me.
Hitting the face with a ball as well is a bad one.
Yeah, that's an assault rather than an injury.
Yeah. Swallowing scratchy food, well, that's bad when you've got a sore throat or something. It's like there was a very good advert on for Strepsils a while back. I think it was Strepsils, where it likened, you know, swallowing a piece of celery. And you see visually the celery turning into like a log with horrible scratchy things coming out of it.
Yeah. Okay, Hannah and Adam sent in the stubbing your finger when catching a football or netball. Mm-hmm. This is a good one from Pete in is that right? Leigh-on-Sea? How do you pronounce that?
I'd say Leigh-on-Sea.
There you go. Having numb fingers, so you're working outdoors and it's cold and your fingers have gone numb, and then you hammer your finger, or you hurt it when your finger's numb.
Yeah.
So you can't ascertain the level of injury or pain.
That's right.
And, you know, it's more frightening because you have to guess how badly you've been injured.
Yeah. Another way of saying...
Sandy's looking a bit ill.
Another way of saying Leonce is Leonce.
Leonce, yeah. That's a more fashionable way of saying it. So here's another good one that I've suffered from recently. Sitting on your nuts.
Sitting on your nuts? How big are your nuts, for goodness sake?
It's not a question of how big. It depends on atmospheric pressure and the dangly level.
And, what are you talking about? How do you sit on your own nuts?
Well, if you just catch them in your underpants... Or come on, listeners. Come on, men. Adam, what have you got little... Well, we can't get too deep. Draw a picture.
I haven't got great
do a little
big
sketch.
Swinglers.
Well, neither have I, but it is possible to sit down in a way
no,
that,
I know what you mean,
that uncomfortably catches your family jewels.
Now, you don't
that
want,
can be very painful.
Certainly, you don't want any interruption to the nutties, because that makes you feel
keep
as if
the,
you're dying.
Yeah, exactly. But it can happen, and it happens very suddenly without... Well, you know, you don't expect it.
Girls don't really understand that. I remember my wife saying to me, there was a scene in a film where someone gets flicked in the shower, and the person is sort of bent over crying in the shower and stuff, and she's like, what's the deal? And she genuinely didn't realise that for men, that's just about the most painful
well,
thing.
Well, her nipples
happen.
Are all slashed up.
What?
Instead.
That's a terrible...
With paper cuts. biting your... Here's a very good one that happens to me.
Some of the
come on,
phrases
this isn't
you, I know it was meant innocuously, but sometimes your choice of phrase...
I appreciate that, and I tend to do it on
really
purpose.
Really frightening.
Because I like to be a bit frightening.
Yeah.
Biting your nails. This is something I do quite a lot. When you're... If you bite your nails, and you've got a good bit going, and do you know how you sort of rip it across the top of the nail?
Yeah.
But the tangent goes wrong, the angle goes wrong, the line goes wrong, and you end up ripping half the nail off.
Yeah.
Ow.
Oh.
Amazingly painful.
That's bad when it happens on your foot as
you
well.
You don't bite your toenails, do you?
No. But sometimes when you should cut them, but maybe you're just picking the nail, and that exact same thing happens.
Yeah.
And then is that called a hangnail? In fact,
probably.
And then you have to walk around with it, you know, and you're putting your socks on and it gets caught on the nail bit and you haven't got the guts to rip the whole thing off.
Yeah.
It's just dang.
Nasty. And then we've got some more predictable ones like ice cream brain freeze. Squeezing spots from Sarah and Cass.
Listen, let's play a bit more music and wrap this up
burning
in a second.
Burning the roof of your mouth from Amy.
Now,
Fritnack.
This is a track from someone called Gnarls Barkley.
Cardor.
Is that really true?
Littlefinger.
Gnarls, spelt Gnarls. Barkley. Gnarls Barkley. That's kind of a brilliant name.
Well, man, we said earlier they're running out of band names. They're running out of human names as well.
Gnarls Barkley. This is called Crazy. I've no idea what this is like, so I'll be interested to find out what Gnarls Barkley sounds like. So there you go, that's what Gnarls Barkley sounds like.
That was
very
quite nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's nice to have some people just going, ooh, on a Saturday, isn't it?
That was CeeLo who was doing the singing there. But Gnarls Barkley is a project put together by Danger Mouse, who, of course, was the producer on the Gorillaz album. No, he had nothing to do with Penfold or anyone involved with Danger Mouse. He's just Danger Mouse himself. I don't know what I'm talking about. He produced the Gorillaz album, Demon Days, and that is their debut single, Gnarls Barkley. Crazy, it's called. They make their live debut at California's Coachella Festival in May. The album comes out on the 1st of May.
You're so knowledgeable.
I know. I want to go to the Coachella Festival.
Really?
If anyone out there can get me to the Coachella Festival in a way that enables me to travel for free.
My girlfriend's booked us at the Green Man Folk Festival.
Where's that happening?
It's somewhere in Wales.
That's not...
I'm going to be camping.
Coachella happens in California.
Anyone going to that? Oh, does it?
Yeah.
That's a bit more glamorous.
Yeah, it's a bit more glamorous. But the Green Man Festival is supposed to be brilliant. Anyway, there you go. That's Gnarls Barkley. I'm sure we'll be hearing
hey,
that.
Hey, Paul in Carshalton has sent in a very good one. Kneeling on a marble.
That's a good one.
He's absolutely right. Kneeling on something is more painful than stepping on it.
Sometimes.
There's something about the knees are wrong, I think. Why isn't there a school of Chinese medicine based around the knee?
I'm sure there is.
Because they're always massaging your feet. What about the knees?
There's a lot of nerve endings in the knees.
You know what? Just kneeling down is painful.
Sometimes it is.
For more than about 15 seconds. It's true, isn't
That's just old age, though, isn't it?
When we used to do things on telly where you had to kneel down, you used to... we used to get ill-tempered and have to get cushions and stuff.
That's true. It's more difficult for you, I think, because you're quite tall.
I've got knobbly knees, yeah. Can I do a couple more?
Yeah, please do. Let's wrap this one up.
Yeah, orange juice, if you're peeling an orange and it squirts in your eye.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Very painful. Putting in a contact lens when you've forgotten to soak it in the second solution that removes the disinfectant.
Oh, I can imagine that. I imagine that's very scratchy. Getting anything in your eye is horrible.
That's from Paul in Rotherhide. And smashing your front teeth on a pint glass.
Smashing your front
teeth
anywhere is bad. You know what? Another one, which is really banal, but it's being made to cry when you're cutting onions. You know, you forget sometimes if you get a...
That's not pain. Is that painful?
It's agony.
It's when not, you got when you it's get just a dodgy, an odd sensation, isn't it?
No. Sometimes if you're really squirting the onion juice right in your eye by accident, and just the aura coming off that onion is really strong. The thing is, you don't do too much cooking, I imagine.
Hey, I do cooking all the time.
Do you? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
to
ready
your
meals,
cook skills. But what if you get a bad onion? There's nothing worse.
Yeah.
Have you got another one down there?
No.
Is that it?
We got to award the prize now, though.
Oh, yeah, we do, yeah.
I tell you what, we should try and get the person on the phone as well. Oh, but the phones, are the phones broken?
Having some
listen,
phone
listeners,
props.
Let's come clean. We were talking about the technical problems here at XFM. Now the phones have gone down.
I think...
So Diddy's in the dock may be in jeopardy.
Can we not have some kind of fundraiser to get XFM some new equipment? That's the thing we should do. Me and Joel play a gig.
It's not very professional to mention it, but, you know, there's a limit.
Yeah, it's just bad luck. XFM runs like a very smooth ship.
Just because there's no one here on the weekend, that's the thing.
It's just when me and Joe come in, it all falls apart.
So, what are we going to do about this? Is in the dark. Do it via text.
I don't know. Shall we launch it right now anyway?
Adam's plan was to give you his mobile number.
I didn't think
we could just do
very
it through
well,
his mobile.
Through the speakerphone.
Yeah.
I'm tempted.
Anyway, let's
do
think
it.
About it. Let's play a record and think about it.
Well, okay, we'll play some ads. How about that?
Even better.
We'll be back after these. XFM. It's Ditties in the Dock time. Now, this is a bit of an experimental Ditties in the Dock because we're still having some phone problems here at XFM today. So, instead of speaking to you folks, we're going to get you to text in. And it's basically the first five texts that we get in.
65 texts?
I don't know. Why would it be six?
Well,
it's
let's just... You know, we'll just keep counting, and it'll be like a sort of numerical barometer.
Okay, then. It's much less satisfying. I like talking to people.
I like talking to people as well. If we'd known this was going to happen, we would have got... I was thinking we could just get a listener who's in Leicester Square now just to come up and decide.
Well, here's the deal. If someone can get up here to XFM...
It has to be literally in the next 5 minutes.
In the next 5 minutes, so by 10-2 or something.
But how do... What do they do? What do they do? They can't even call us, can they, Xanthi? A reception, so they can buzz on the door. They don't know where, people don't know
how
where
would reception
is,
let them in?
They'd call us up and say, there's a person here for you.
Okay.
Number one, Leicester Square, if you're in Leicester Square, buzz on the door. Otherwise, we'll do it via text, but let's pitch, because we're going to just completely run out of time.
Yeah, that's true.
This week is country and western. If you're a regular listener, you'll know I'm obsessed with Werner Herzog's film Grizzly Man, and I'd like to play the song that plays over the closing credits of that movie. It's called Coyotes. I think it's by a guy called Don Edwards, but I've forgotten my piece of paper where I wrote it. But I remember he's a very old-school, respected, you know, proper good old boy, proper cowboy and singer, and it's a beautiful song, and the chorus is just the noise of a coyote. I didn't do it very well, but something like that. And it's all about how the, you know, the prairies and the wilderness has been ruined by roads.
I hate roads and man.
With all his shops and radio stations and things. It's beautiful. Rag. I'm sure it won't win, but it's called Coyotes by Don Edwards. So text 83XFM, text Coyotes if you want to hear that.
Alternatively,
it's not the same, is it, texting?
It's not the same. It's so impersonal.
It feels so wrong.
Well, you never know. Someone might make it up here in the next 4 minutes. It is now.
Yeah.
And we can add a personal angle to the whole procedure. My choice this week is Johnny Cash. Sorry, it's not very imaginative, but I was going for my, you know, favourite.
Is he the Walk the Line man?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very popular at the moment.
And I'm going for the song "I Walk the Line."
Wow.
Because it is extraordinary. I mean, it sounds so modern. If you've never heard it, you should check it out and vote for it. Because it's really an amazing thing that he does in this song. He sort of sings every verse in a different, I don't know what the technical term for
voice.
It. Well, he starts off sort of singing very high, and then he gets a bit lower, and then he gets lower still.
A range,
by the last
an amazing
verse.
Range.
Amazing range. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. It starts off like that, and then it goes, I keep my eyes wide open all the time.
Has anyone come up, Xanthi?
Because you're mine.
No one's come up.
I walk the line. It's an amazing song, and I want you to vote for that. Johnny Cash, I Walk the Line.
So text 83XFM with Coyotes or Cash. Already, 1, 2, 3, 4. We've got 4
Don't
votes.
Don't tell us what it is, though.
4, one of them. And one rude word. That's what we got so far.
Okie doke. Let's play some music and come back with the outcome.
So exciting.
This is an exciting
it's
band.
Very different.
They're called the Ordinary Boys. They're fronted by a very pleasant young man. He's called Prestong. And this is called Boys.
What?
Prestong. And this is called Boys Will Be Boys. That's the Ordinary Boys with Boys Will Be Boys.
I don't like that.
Why not?
I just don't like it. I like Preston.
Boys Will Be Boys.
That's not good. Is that
gibbly,
a good single?
Bibbly.
Maybe I'm out of touch, but I don't know.
It's okay. It's okay.
There's a man here trying to repair the phones, but it's too late because we're doing Ditties in the Dock text style for the first, hopefully last time ever. And to be honest, there's so many texts, I can't keep count.
So,
can't count.
So it's you've got to find some way of making the whole thing exciting, though.
Well, because we don't have the callers to chat
to.
Oh, man, this is terrible. What about this man who's repairing the... What's your name?
Ockles.
Ockles? Your name isn't Ockles.
Ockles.
Come here, Ockles.
Really?
This is the man repairing the phone.
Hi,
say hello to the listeners.
Hello, listeners. How are you?
So this is the man really responsible for the phones breaking down, right, Ockles? Where were you when we paged you and called you half an hour ago?
Sitting in the workshop.
Drinking?
No.
No?
No water.
Why then?
I don't know, I'm switching it on.
Man, you shouldn't hassle Ockles, otherwise
I'm not,
he's
I'm trying
just
to be sorry, Ockles. Listen, so, you know, seeing as... You know, you're not the cause of this, but seeing as you... Will you accept some responsibility?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay, so maybe he should make the choice.
Okay, yeah, we could... Are maybe, you a country and western fan, Ockles?
Come closer to the mic,
Ish,
Ockles.
Yes. What choice do I have?
Do you want to hear Johnny Cash with Walk the Line... Or Don Edwards, yeah?
Am I supposed to pick Don Edwards?
Have you heard of Don Edwards?
No.
Well, I'm just trying to compensate for the fact that you haven't heard him
yes.
by making his name sound colourful and interesting.
Yes, I see.
With Coyotes.
Okay, we'll try that.
You haven't seen a film
no,
called Grizzly
can't.
Man, have
no,
you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, right, okay.
So you better choose Johnny Cash, because everyone's asking for Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash, I've heard of him.
There
okay.
you go.
It's a nice tune.
We'll go for Johnny Cash.
And tell us some sort of anecdote.
You Ockles. Can't just put Ockles on the
well,
spot.
Well, I'm trying to make up for the fact that we usually have callers that say funny things. What's been going on lately, Ockles, at home?
Home? I had nothing too much, really. I went off to do an XFM live gig on Thursday
right.
night and slept on Friday.
Right. Good
and
stuff.
I came in here.
Brilliant. Let Ockles off the hook, and thank you very much indeed for talking to us, and good luck with those phones.
Brilliant name, Ockles.
So, it's a walkover for Johnny Cash. All the people that have been texting in have gone for Johnny Cash, which is understandable. I must say that the song that Joe is going to vote for as well...
It's a beautiful song. Maybe a free play next week.
Absolutely, that would be good. I saw Grizzly Man finally this week, and it's brilliant. I'd recommend it to anyone who hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah.
It's absolutely extraordinary. But to play us out this week, it is Johnny Cash. Who's coming up after this, Southie? Do we know?
Marcia.
Is it Marcia? I haven't seen her lovely face yet in the corridors.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. And thanks for everybody who's texted and emailed. And we'll be back next week with another fun-packed 2 hours of radio.
Of craziness. Yes, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Ockles.
And might I remind people that I am gradually putting up a few bits and pieces from these
clips
XFM
from the show, yeah,
radio shows on my website, which is adam-buxton.co.uk.
I've been sitting in my pants listening to them.
Wow, that's
listening to myself.
It's a lovely image.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan, you can check out a few bits and pieces on there. And we'll be with you again next week. Right now, here's Johnny Cash. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
On this heart of mine, I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you, because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right, because you're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide, because you're mine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine, I walk the line.
XFM.